This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
9:20, J.C. Sheldon going to join us on the show. Former Ohio State women's basketball guard, new Dallas wing. Take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app. Also hear Mitch Please coming up at 9:40. There are still people who want to get in on the Browns helmet and what the changes should be.
We have talked a lot in the history of this station about the colors, logo, lack of a logo, uniform. So when they unveiled that helmet this week, and they branded that as a big announcement, right? They did say this was a huge unveiling. The problem was that Eric Metcalf spoiled the whole thing.
It wasn't Eric Metcalf's fault. I think everybody knew they were going to white face masks.
Yeah.
And Eric Metcalf happened to post the picture. I hope Eric Metcalf ain't in any hot water or anything over this.
No, I mean, I've been seeing on the offshoot blogs for a month now.
Exactly. I think we all knew there
Daryl
was going to be
on, yeah. And he's been anticipating it for a while.
Yeah. Says we all knew there was going to be a white face mask.
They look great.
Half alone,
I think the white looks great.
It does look great. 216-474-0092. Before I take these calls, make sure you're prepped for everything going on with the Browns and the rest of the league and what they're going to do during the NFL draft and the roller coaster ride that is the NBA playoffs, including Jonathan Peterlin, who will be doing the post-game show after game one between the Cavs and the Orlando Magic Saturday afternoon at 1. So make sure you're listening to The Fan all throughout the week and all throughout the weekend and even in the middle of the night while you and your significant other make sweet love down by the fire. Make sure you're listening to podcasts of myself and Anthony, the Baskin and the Phelps, the Dustin Fox and the Nick Wilson and the Jonathan Peterlin all day long. Follow 92.3 The Fan and the free Odyssey app and get all that breaking news and all that stuff from social media pushed right to your phone. 216-474-0092. Irv in Cleveland. Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hi.
Hey, I was thinking a brown helmet, you know, like that glossy brown with the white face mask and a white dog biscuit on the side.
A white dog biscuit, why?
A white dog, because back in the 80s when Alfred Dixon and Frank Minifield start barking, I remember back then fans used to throw dog biscuits on the field.
I think that idea sucks, Irv. What do you think?
I know.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. I'm joking.
I mean, they used to throw the dog biscuits right at John Elway. So you could actually affix a real dog biscuit on there.
But if you throw anything now, they're going to send you right to the Hooskow. You can't. No, this is a different era.
They're going
to
blame me.
They're going to blame Irv.
Coach too.
They're going to remember Irv in Cleveland called up and gave this idea. Irv, thank you very much for the call and the humor with us. So Caitlin Clark had a very weird interaction with Greg Doyle. We talked to Meredith about this at 6:40.
It was great, and it was great to hear her opinion. The internet went crazy about this. I just want to point out, it feels like
it sounds really bad.
There has been a Caitlin Clark story that has made national headlines every day for like a month. Every day. We didn't even go over the jersey sold. You can't get a Caitlin Clark jersey right now. And a shoe deal. I guess she has actually gotten and earned a shoe deal.
I would imagine.
Is she going to make like $20 million this year?
Off the court, obviously, yeah, she's going to make a ton.
Holy cow.
That's why, again, when you and I argued about that whole big three thing, I was getting texts from buddies going, Ken, you're wrong. I go, no, I'm right. Let's not be stupid about this. She has an obligation to her game, the type of stardom that she has. She needs to feel that obligation and do what she can to improve everything. When she's the woman who is talking about the players that came before, she said, quote, they kicked down the door so she could walk through it. there's an obligation to her when she says such things to take the sport and move it forward and to legitimize it, because every single time we talk about women's basketball, and I've been teasing J.C. Sheldon coming on the show this entire morning, and every time I do, there's people who get in and go, you're wasting our time. Stop doing this. Okay, well, to justify it and to legitimize it for the future, she has to stand in there and be the great basketball player we think she's going to be, the star that we think she's going to be, that she can be, and bring it to another level. Because we're talking about, what, the salary and the $75,000 as a rookie?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if more people are watching women's college basketball, then you can shop those television rights, and then in turn, they can go out and they can make higher salaries as women's basketball players. And then she would be one of the people at the forefront to create that. So it's bigger than, well, just $5 million and that's it. She's making money hand over fist off the floor. There's an obligation to the game to provide for others. The history that she creates within the game. And I think she recognizes that. However, when Greg Doyle gets a little bit weird, and this is a cringy, do we have it here?
Be prepared.
All right,
just
man.
Be prepared. If you're driving in your car, I don't want your cringe factor to be so high that you do something silly.
Well,
so brace yourself.
You and I usually run
Should
towards
you tell
awkward.
Them what he's doing first?
He's Lima display. Because usually you and I run towards awkward.
Yeah.
Even I'm kind of like looking at the table.
Yeah,
and
this
like,
was tough. This was tough to get through when we played it earlier in the show, especially because I've heard it already.
Yeah.
We've played it for Meredith for the very first time. Greg Doyle does the heart thing with his hands.
Yes. Both hands together makes the
heart. Does the heart.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, when I show you this, he's making the heart symbol with his hand.
Yeah, so he does that while asking the following to Caitlin Clark at her introductory press conference yesterday in Indy.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay,
it's
well,
pretty
let's
cool.
Start doing it to me and we'll be get along just fine. So.
Hey, we can't play it anymore. We cannot play that again.
You say that.
You can't do it. You cannot
No.
Especially the here.
No, because.
Yeah. I want you here.
Well, people are looking at it like, man, you're a creep. And I'm thinking he's being cringy. It comes off creepy to a lot of people, yes.
Well, I can't tell if it's creepy or cringy.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like
that's
that
the
you're
worst.
Here.
I do
that's
that at my family
thing.
After every game. So
that's the worst.
Okay, well, cool.
Let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Until you hear that. Now that's the worst thing you're gonna.
No
hear.
No one's ever told me that in my life. I want you here. Has anybody ever said that to you? Has Liz ever said that to you?
No.
Did our bosses? Did our bosses ever
say that?
She say
that
to
this
you?
Morning when there was a dead duck on the yard.
Yeah. She goes, you got to do something about the dead duck here. And I go, I can't do it. She goes, I want you here to scoop up the dead duck.
The whole thing was bizarre. And now I don't expect a lot of people listening right now to know who Greg Doyle is. He was a national columnist for a long time. Now he's just been an indie. So
he's a bit of an offbeat character.
He is. And I think he's been an excellent column writer in the past. I haven't read as much of his stuff since he's been at the Indy Star. But he used to write very thought-provoking columns. He considers himself, I would say, a humorist at times. I don't know if everybody else considers him, but he has definitely had a lot of bizarre interactions in press conferences.
So either way, he basically stepped in it here, and he apologized and stuff like that, because it comes off. I don't know if he had that type of want for that to happen, but it came off bad. It came off, obviously, very poorly.
I like that you're here.
And Lima brought up that, you know, there is... And you brought this up that we wanted to talk about it, obviously, because there is a cringe factor to this. But it's also like, you know, to legitimize it and to make it normal, to make women's NBA, to make the WNBA normal, to make women's college basketball normal, not just a comment across the sky. For a lot of things, there's a lot of awkward moments on the way to normal. Like, this is a very awkward moment. And I think that there's always like a thing of how do I, because I think about this being in the media. I respect Caitlin Clark. I respect J.C. Sheldon. I respect these people who are coming on. How do I... I'm also a 37-year-old man. I'm not part of their generation. How do I remain respectful without... I mean, I said yes, ma'am, to Meredith earlier today, and you made a gag about it. Now, Meredith knows that I say that to every woman, but there's like a whole gut, like you're afraid of that sort of thing.
Well, you never say yes, ma'am, to Anthony.
Because he's
right.
Well, I don't
it's,
even.
It's not. But just
well,
think,
the day I call him sir is the day that I'm long dead.
The women's game but, has grown to the point that had this happened 2 years ago, would we even know about it?
Probably not. I've called you sir.
Well, you have to.
I'm what do you mean if this That's happens true. 2 years ago? What do you mean?
2 years ago, we were not talking about women's sports. We were not talking about no. women's college.
We weren't
basketball.
Talking much about like Caitlin
not
Clark,
just us.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yes. We knew that she was good, but we didn't. Like there was like, hey, this girl from Iowa is really good, and then it's like, wow, she's incredible, and then it's like, well, we have to talk about this differently. Here
I mean, look at last year's WNBA draft. I read an article yesterday. I think it was the second highest of all time, not the one that we just had, the one prior to that, and it was 593,000 people watching. That was the second highest all time. The last one was 2.4 million.
So
I mean, it has grown exponentially, and the eyes are on it now.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
And it was.
To get to a point of legitimizing it, we are there. It's now how do you treat it going forward?
And I think that this is part of what we have to go through. It's just what we have to go through. Well, like my son, I'm sure my son will look at women's.
The learning process
yes,
of it all is what
my
we
son
have to
will look at women's yeah. college basketball a hell of a lot more differently than what our generation did. Just like I
Correct.
Looked at sports a hell of a lot differently than what my father's generation looked at professional sports. There's obviously a change in society. And guys who get older, of course, they think that's not necessarily a change for the better because we always get nostalgic. We look back on things that really weren't that great, but we think about a simpler time when we didn't have many more responsibilities. We didn't have as many responsibilities as we do now. So we wax on poetically about those days because we think that they were the best days ever. That's why guys have midlife crises. But yeah, this is, as much as I hate to say it, because I don't know Greg Doyle from anything. Maybe he's a real first-class jerk. I don't know. But these are one of these awkward moments that, yeah, you kind of got to go through to get to a point where, hey, we're normal now. Everything's good. We're on the top. We're on the tippy top of all of this. We have to break through these sort of things.
And I do wonder, like, at some point, will her games be treated? Will they be covered like the normal men's games? Is there going to have to be always a separate division?
That depends.
Like our radio station, will we have to ever have a separate show just to talk about women's sports? Because I'll tell you, as a show that's only talked mostly men's sports, we talked a lot of Caitlin Clark. We talked a lot about the Final Four, but that was a perfect storm for us. It's not every year you're going to have the Final Four in our backyard and at the time where the sport is the most popular it's ever been.
Well, that's true.
Will that translate? We've talked, you know, the Williams sisters just because of how big they were. We've talked a little bit about Team USA, really about the downfall of women's soccer. About the stranglehold they had over everybody else because
they had that
dominance.
But I also want to treat it, if we are treating it like regular sports here and we are moving on into the future where we're saying that this is where it's supposed to be and thank God it's here, I also want to remain respectful of what it's supposed to be. Golf has a 20% drop of watching a viewership for the Masters. Okay, that needs to be discussed at some point. I can't just sit there and not discuss if in 5 years she hasn't made the situation any better. That the rivalry between her and Angel Reese is not the women's equivalent of Larry versus Magic to reinvigorate the NBA or really put the NBA on its course to where it is now. I have to discuss it differently. So we have to remain where we are.
Did you ever think, though, that there'd be a world where the women's Final Four championship game would do double the Masters?
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
That really is amazing. 216-474-0092. Up next, J.C. Sheldon going to join us on the show. Former Ohio State women's basketball guard, new Dallas Wing. She's a local lady, and she talks to us next about what's going on in the WNBA and especially how you go from a big regular season and college basketball tournament immediately to a regular season. It's amazing. J.C. Sheldon joining us next on The Fan.
All right, we are so excited to be joined on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in our next guest and the fifth overall pick in the WNBA draft. Columbus native J.C. Sheldon joins us on the hotline. How are you, J.C.?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I think she's from here, isn't she? Weren't you born here?
Yeah, grew up. Yeah. I was born in Akron and grew up in Cleveland, Berea area.
I thought so. Lima, come on, get your facts straight.
Our producers do very, very poor legwork when it comes to any of this. So we did get it right that you play basketball, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So have you been doing the media rounds or what's going on?
A little bit, yep.
Yeah. They had you on. What station do you have? Do you get to go on in Columbus?
Haven't done Columbus yet. I don't know.
What?
We'll see. I know.
Do I need to get the common man? Do I need to get Torg? Who's doing radio in Columbus these days? Are they disrespecting women's basketball?
No. I'm sure they'll get to it. I just got back, so they've got time.
See, we, unlike all these other Johnny-come-latelys, we actually follow women's basketball. We don't just talk Caitlin Clark. We like to get others involved. We had many fans go down to the sold-out basketball facility in Columbus, Value City Arena, to see the Buckeyes take on Iowa. What a thrilling game on network TV. We don't just parachute in now. We get excited.
Oh, I love it.
We're so excited to have you on because we have never, as a station, I don't think the city has ever talked as much women's sports, save a little bit of Team USA, women's soccer. Kenny, you're shaking your head. We've never talked as much women's basketball as we have right now. And so that's why we are excited to have you on right now, capitalize on all this craziness that's going on. What has life been like for you to have the season you had, to be able to get into the NCAA tournament, the seed that you got, to see this unbridled enthusiasm from coast to coast, and now being a WNBA draftee?
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been awesome, though, to see this growth, like you guys are talking about, and not only, women's basketball, but women's sports. And I think viewership's going up. All eyes are kind of on women's sports right now, and to be a part of that growth and that change is special, and hopefully, we can carry that on. And I mean, the W's already doing it. The I's are already on the W. So joining those girls and being able to grow the game with those girls is pretty cool.
What's it feel like for you personally?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Like that you're playing at the same time as such growth. Is there a respect? I mean, is there a reverence that you give to the people who played before you? Because like I was with Sue Ramsey at Ashland, and everybody's like, oh gosh, such a legend. And I'm like, yeah, bringing the game along to where it is now.
Absolutely. And we wouldn't be here without those people. So I think absolutely you got to take time and look back at all the greats who made this possible. And I think being a part of what's going on now is something special, something none of us are taking for granted, and hopefully we can keep it going.
J.C. Sheldon joining us here on the show. For you, what was it like the moment you were drafted?
Yeah, it was special. I was a little more nervous than I expected to be. I'm a pretty calm person, but once my name was called, I think emotion took over a little bit. But being able to celebrate that with my family and go through that with my family is awesome. And obviously going to a place like Dallas, I can't wait to get there.
Do you feel a sense of pressure for what you do for the sport and what you and your class are doing for the sport?
Yeah, I think the group of draftees that went to New York, we talked about it a little bit. And I think when you're a part of this and a part of the change and a part of kind of eyes being on women's sports, you got to enjoy it a little bit. There's going to be pressure, but that comes with the game. That's part of the game, and it's what pushes us to be better. So it's something that's needed, I think, but something that this class and, older girls, that came before us are just embracing right now.
You got to take us through what it was like behind the scenes, because obviously record number of viewership for the WNBA draft grew exponentially. We know everybody was there to see Caitlin Clark, how she would react, Angel Reese, but there you are going fifth overall. That had to be something. What was the entire process like? What was the experience like?
The experience was awesome. We got there a couple days early. We're able to meet all the draftees a couple days before the draft, and it was amazing. I think it was a pleasant surprise because these are girls that you normally compete against, and being able to sit down with them, get to know them, and kind of get to know them on a different level, it was pretty special. We had a lot of really cool girls, got to know everybody, and being able to go through that with them and kind of celebrate this with them was pretty cool.
All right, you had two vicious, memorable battles this season with Caitlin Clark. Obviously, you played against her before. We know how she is as a competitor. What was it like being able to match up against her? You had two great games. One was a thrilling overtime win seen by millions on network TV. What was that whole experience like?
It's fun. It's fun, man. I think I was our rival in the Big Ten, so we always look forward to playing against them, and they're a great group, and so are we. So I think we look forward to matchups like that and playing like players like her. So I think anytime you get to compete against, you know, the best and go out there and have some fun, it's absolutely something you look forward to.
What was the level of trash talk going on? The stuff
you stole another question.
Didn't get a chance to hear. What was that like? How cutthroat was it?
It was pretty cutthroat. That's always a tough game with a lot of trash talk. And I think that's part of the athleticism. That's part of competing for us. And it's part of the women's game, whether people want to believe that or not. So it's fun. It makes it more fun. And it's really fun to compete against teams like that. And it's, like I said, it's just a part of the game for us.
Did you, J.C. Sheldon joining us on the show, did you roll your eyes at some of the pearl clutching that was going on nationally about the trash talk?
I like it. I like the discussion. I think, you know, being women, I think it's a little hard for people to see us trash talk and it becomes so normal. But I think it's cool that it's being normalized. It's part of our game, too. You know, we have emotion, too. We're so competitive as well. And I love it. I love the discussion. I love that people are starting to notice it. Whether they like it or not, I don't really care. I think it's something that is really special in the women's game.
There is obviously a lot of conversation about whether or not the WNBA is going to use this experience as a launching pad to see so many new viewers, so many people excited about not only the tournament, but now the draft. The season is not that far away. What do you think of that? And do you think you can help play a role in something like that and being able to cultivate all this new viewership?
Absolutely. I think our class does hope to play a role, but these women in the W have already done it, and they know that. The talent there is insane. You know, their love for the game is like no other. And I think just to be around people like that and kind of get implemented into a system like that, I'm excited for them. I'm excited to learn from them. I'm excited to compete with them. But like I said, I think that is a hope for us, but also going in, respecting these ladies, knowing that they've done it already and they've done it longer than us. So I think it'll be cool to just get to know them, learn from them, and get better while doing it.
What do you tell fathers trying to get their daughters into basketball?
Yeah. I got into basketball at a really young age. My dad had a lot to do with it. So I think, you know, just being open to what your kid has a passion for. And for me, it was basketball. And if it is basketball for other little girls too, just helping them to get there, guiding them every step of the way, being encouraging, but also being a little hard on them. My dad was hard on me growing up, and it paid off. And I can't thank him enough for everything he's done for me. And it got me where I am today.
J.C. Sheldon joining us on the show. Who's your favorite women's basketball player ever?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm going to have to go with, I grew up watching Kelsey Mitchell. She's an Ohio State native. I'm going to have to go with her. Love watching her play. But I'm excited to, you know, finally play with these girls. And like I said, just be an open book going in and compete.
What did you think of the dialogue and a lot of the comments from current WNBA players, especially the better ones, when it comes to what this next class is going to have to deal with? Obviously, Caitlin Clark was a big part of that, but they're talking about all of you. Is this going to be a tough transition for your class to get to that next level?
Yeah, I think there's an adjustment period for everyone, whether people want to admit that or not. We're going into play with, you know, women now and women who are extremely talented. And to even be considered in the same conversation as them is something, you know, we have to respect. So I think I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited to get to know these girls, girls you grow up watching. And it's a surreal moment for sure. But I'm also excited for our class. You know, we have a lot of talent. A lot of people who love to compete. And I think competing at this level is something that you have to look forward to and you have to be ready for. So I'm super excited for
it. Honestly, it sounded like jealousy from those yeah. women. It sounded like they didn't like the fact that you got all the NIL money, that you got to play in front of those types of crowds and have millions at home watching. It sounded like pure jealousy to me.
Oh, gosh. I don't know about that. They've been doing this for a while, and they've been doing it with a lot of talent, a lot of grit. Like I said, nothing but respect for them, and I'm so excited to get to learn from them.
Taurasi in particular really came off that way. J.C. Sheldon joining us right now on the hotline. So the WNBA salary discussion that emerged, what did you take away from that over the past few days? Because it seemed like everybody was coming at you guys from different angles, some critical, others to say, hey, no, this is the opportunity to change this discussion, to really elevate this sport and to elevate the salaries, the compensation that comes along with it?
That's a great question. It's something I honestly haven't thought a lot about. I'm just ready to get to Dallas and start playing some ball. But I think that's something that's going to change over time. Like you said, with more viewership, more attention on the game and expansion maybe in the future, I think that's absolutely going to have to be a topic. But for me, like I said, right now, I'm focused on playing the game, getting better, and getting down to Dallas.
What was it like walking around High Street this year, higher profile, so many more eyeballs on your team and your sport? Did you feel at any time like no longer a student, but a bit of a celebrity figure on campus?
On campus, absolutely. I think Buckeye Nation, Ohio State is amazing. Being from Cleveland, moving to Columbus, and then being able to be at a school, university like Ohio State was awesome, and it was a dream. And then, like you said, being more recognized, getting more eyes on our game and more attention, it was an adjustment for sure, but I wouldn't change it for anything. It was awesome. I think, you know, women's sports in general at Ohio State kind of blew up this past year and years before. So I think being a part of that change, like I said, is unique. And I think it's something we're all very grateful for.
We do a thing called power ranking on our show constantly. We normally break out music and we do a quick power ranking.
Yes.
Knowing that a record number of people watched the WNBA draft, A, I got to ask you, how concerned were you about your fit, what you were going to wear at the draft, and power rank them outside of you? Who had the best trip at the WNBA draft?
Gosh, so I was very nervous about my outfit. I loved it, but until I had it all on with my hair and makeup done, I was in full panic. But everything turned out to be great. I loved it. There were a lot of, oh my gosh, everybody looked amazing. Everyone's outfit was outstanding. I'm going to have to go with Angel Reese. You guys have seen it. Her outfit was insane. I loved it. Celeste Taylor from Ohio State, my old teammate, also looked amazing. I think, honestly, everybody showed out. I can't name one person who didn't have an amazing outfit, so it was really cool to see.
Now power rank your favorite cities in Ohio.
Oh, man. I mean, I'd have to put Cleveland first. That's home. That's where I grew up. And then Columbus is...
Whoa! Yes!
Yes!
Yes! All right, continue.
Columbus is a close second, like I said, but Cleveland takes it for sure.
Okay. Tone?
Running any basketball camps? Anything? We need to help you? Yeah. We can help you.
I have in the past. Past summers, I definitely have, and it's been awesome. I've been up in Cleveland and in Columbus, but I think, I don't know if I'm having time this summer. Like I said, leaving Monday for Dallas, but I'll reach out for sure if I do again.
Yeah, I should ask you, how much of a challenge is that to go to a full basketball season right after a full basketball season?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm going in as a rookie. I have no excuses about that. These girls have been playing longer than me, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it'll be an adjustment, but I can't wait.
We are excited. We're going to be watching. We're going to see what we can do, and we hope to have you on throughout the season. Would you do us a favor? Would you come back on?
Please.
Check in with us maybe a month into the year.
Please.
Sounds good. Absolutely.
All right, JC Sheldon, Ohio State, Cleveland native. We got to get that right. Cleveland native, and we appreciate you coming on. Can't wait to do it again.
Thank you, guys.
Browns have signed a tackle. Well, an offensive lineman, Jermaine Ifedi. Started 59 games.
Boom.
Which Zach Jackson immediately put out, they need tackles for May practice. I know what you're doing, Zach, and I don't like it.
Yeah, when you see an announcement
like that. Getting everybody
worked
into a chute.
Did Schefter have that and Ian Rappaport?
I'm sure they both did.
No, I know. Did they always report on every single...
guys that aren't like big...
It's content, yeah. But
I don't think they do. I think this is a favor for an agent. I think that's when you see some names you've never really paid attention to.
Well, wait a minute. He started 59 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a name you don't pay attention to.
So he should have been on my radar.
Well, Mitch didn't know he was, and I made fun of him. I go, you don't know who Jermaine Ifedi is?
I don't know it.
I don't. Guys, we're in a room where guys who are supposed to know sports. I'm sorry. If you don't know who Jermaine Ifedi is, I mean, what the hell? I'm not going to sit here and have a big argument over the guy.
I have to learn ball.
You don't know ball.
It's time to learn it.
It don't lie, so.
Teach it to me.
There was a balk called last night. I think the balls
sometimes ball lie.
Balk lies.
We're still waiting to find out real clarification on why the hell that was called.
He didn't declare, sir.
What, the pivot?
Oh, mercy me, I do declare.
They're worried.
I'll be thrown from the windup this time.
They're worried about the pivot?
I mean, don't laugh.
Oh, mercy sake, sir.
Should you at least bring a sign out with you?
Excuse me. Flip it? Excuse me there, Joe West. I'll be thrown from the windup here, sir. Slap my butt and call me Suzanne Summers.
You went too far.
What do you mean?
Suzanne Summers.
R.I.P. Mitch, please.
All right, so last night's game between the Sixers and the Heat. For the second time this week, we had the opportunity for fans to win free chicken if the opposing team bricked free throws.
Enough of the chicken.
This is on ESPN last night.
I think the frustration builds when you're not scoring.
All right, it's that time for chicken, free chicken. Yes! And the crowd explodes.
I take it all back. Audio courtesy ESPN, I take it all back. You got me so worked up on Monday morning. This is a play-in game.
That's right.
And they are whooping it up about chicken.
I give up.
We all took it way too seriously. There's nothing serious in the NBA apparently anymore. There's nothing serious.
You heard of Magic City. That's Chicken City.
That's ridiculous.
Put it on the jerseys.
Isabella would say chicky.
Of course she would.
Chicky.
We don't care about your kids. Stop.
I've heard her grow up.
Chicky.
No, I'm kidding. It's amazing.
How can you not get excited about the playoffs now?
Should they be running those promotions in playoffs?
I didn't know they did.
I mean, if you're Chick-fil-A, you got to go to every single. I mean, you got to launch a national campaign. Yeah.
But it's weird, right? The stats don't count in.
I know the Cavs
games,
have.
Do they?
The Cavs one for if the team scores over 100 points, you get a free burger. I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Buy one, get one free.
Well, could you imagine going to a Chick-fil-A after something like that? Well, the play-in game doesn't count. I'm sorry, you don't get it. There's no way a place like Chick-fil-A that's supposed to be about their customer service is going to not give you chicken.
And then they say, my pleasure.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah. There's not a chance in hell.
If you scored 100 points in a playing game, what happens? You get
hopefully
free chicken.
If the other team the scores 101, you don't play anymore.
Yeah, you don't play anymore. Season's over.
Do you get anything out of that? Is that go down in history as the most points in a game?
Where's the banner?
Not really, because it's a playing
game. Are you
talking
about a person scoring 100 points in a game?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Of course.
I don't think it counts.
Well, yes, it has to count at some level.
I don't think it's a playoff game.
It goes in your playoff stats.
No, I don't think it's a playoff game, nor do I think it's a regular season game.
But if it counts for
a play-in specifically.
Yeah.
So if it happens in this shadow realm here of the NBA, it has to count for something, because somebody has to go in and somebody has to go out. It has to count for something.
Mitch, I think you need to look into it.
So the points LeBron scored the other day, they don't count. Zion's 40 points do not exist in the NBA.
They are nowhere.
I've already got an article where Steph Curry and Steve Kerr question this. I'll send it to you.
Kind of feel bad for Zion Williamson. The guy can't get ahead.
Do you feel bad for Jimmy Butler?
To a certain degree, but however, I think Jimmy Butler's lived a fun life.
Yeah.
So
he's in a Fallout Boy video.
He is a very interesting person, and I want to learn more about Jimmy Butler.
He's finally made it.
Certainly has. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. J.C. Sheldon was amazing. Listen to that interview, 92.3thefan.com. We will be back tomorrow morning. Oh, of course, Mary Kay was wonderful as well. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. Who's on the show tomorrow, Mitch?
Special guest coming in around 8 a.m. tomorrow. We also have Austin Carr at 9:20.
Ooh, sounds excellent. For Big Country.
Loaded.
Oh, we got the podcast coming
up.
No,
it's actually a really good special guest.
10:15. Yeah, it's a really good special guest coming in at 8 o'clock tomorrow. You're going to want to be listening, okay?
Caitlin Clark.
They're coming in.
Same level.
You're going to want to listen. For Big Country, for Jeff. Wait, Jeff's not here. For Big Country, for Meredith.
Jeff gets
too.
No credit. No,
nice guy.
No credit.
For Mitch, for Tone, listen 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app, 10:15. For the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima, Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Guards. Go Cavs.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.